But Sammy has got the honor of sharing with us, and we have the honor of listening to him this morning. Amen? Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over. Well, who would you like to pray for you this
Shaneus.
Morning? Shane. Wow. Okay. Nice and close. I like that. Go for it.
All right. Father God, I just want to thank you for Sammy right now. And yes. I pray that this message is anointed and can speak to each and every person in this room as he gives what you have prepared for him, Lord God. Pray that you just bless the rest of this day and bless this service so we can just prepare our hearts for it. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
Amen. You, amen.
All right. It's all yours.
So I was trying to think of what I'm going to speak on the last couple of weeks. And some reason in my head, you know when like you think you hear something right, but it's actually wrong, you'll still believe that you're right in your own head. So I was at work and I'm studying and I'm like, all right, I got to teach in a little bit. So I'm trying to write down notes and I literally couldn't get nothing. Like it's five verses that I have to read. And I'm like, all right, it's Galatians chapter 2. You know, I got this. I need to write it down. So I start trying to study. I couldn't get nothing. I'm like, man, God, what's going on? So then I'm like, Candace, text me the scripture that you want me to teach on or that I'm supposed to teach on. And she texts me Colossians chapter 2, 1 through 5. But when I read it, I still thought it said Galatians chapter 2, 1 through 5. So I'm like, all right, you know, I was right. I have to teach it out of Galatians, you know. When it really, she texted me Colossians. So I'm like, man, God, I still can't get nothing. And I even had this sheet. I looked at the sheet. It says right up top, Colossians chapter 2. But in my head, when I looked at Colossians, I thought it said Galatians chapter 2. So I'm still at work. I'm trying to study. I can't come up with nothing. So then Friday night, two nights before the message, I stop by Ed's house. We have to pick up Peyton. And Jenny's like, what are you teaching on? And I'm like, oh, you have to find out Sunday. But I didn't have nothing prepared. I'm like, I just couldn't think of anything. I was trying to study and nothing was coming to my head. And so they're trying to get it out of me, trying to tell me what I'm teaching on. And so finally, I'm like, yeah, I'm teaching out of Galatians chapter 2. And my loving brother is like, no, you're not. You're not teaching out of Galatians. I'm like, yes, I am. I know what I'm teaching on. It's Galatians chapter 2. He's like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, I'm not wrong. I know it's Galatians. So he comes over. He brings me the sheet. And sure enough, I was wrong. And it was Colossians chapter 2. And then I look at the text message. I'm like, man, my wife texted me Galatians. I'm like, I know she did. Well, I had to check the text. And it was Colossians chapter 2. And so I laughed because these were the only notes I could come up with in a matter of a couple of weeks. There's barely nothing on there. And I got six pages of Colossians. So I think this is what God wants me to teach on.
Humility?
No, not humility. Hey, I admitted I was wrong. It just took me three times to figure it out. Hey, yeah. All right, so if you guys want to turn to Colossians 2, 1 through 5, and, yeah, not Galatians, Colossians. And it's funny because a lot of you guys know I mentioned a couple weeks ago I have a multiculturalism class at U of M Dearborn, and it's a fun class. I mean, it really is. My teacher's very much in your face, and my wife told me if she had that class, she'd be calling the dean on her. And I'm like, why? And she's like, no teachers allowed to cuss at a university. And I'm like, well, it's a very liberal university, so good luck with that one. But my teacher, it's hilarious because if you say something, she's like, you racist. I should B-I-T-C-H slap you right now. And she'll actually, like, get in your face and act like she's going to do it. But it's like I said, it's a fun class because she gets you out of your comfort zone to actually say what you truly feel. And there's times in the class she's called someone a racist or a bigot and all this different stuff. And she's like, that's not how I really feel, but I'm telling you, that's how people are going to approach you if you say comments like that. If that's what you truly feel, you know, about black people, Mexicans, you know, there's all types of stuff we were talking about. Polacks, Arabs. So Colossians 2, 1 through 5. Let's see. Who wants to
talk about hillbillies?
Yeah, right. Who wants to read? I'm going to pick on people to read. Go ahead, Alma.
Alma.
2:1-5.
I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. Right there, right? And for those that Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Amen. Thank you, Elma. I appreciate it. All right, so verse 1, Paul tells him, he says, I am contending for you. So just like any theologian, I'm going to go and look stuff up. Hey, you're a theologian too, Elma. Right. All right, so verse 1, I'm contending for you. And it's the Greek word G73 called agon. It's where we get the word agony from that we actually use today. And it means assembly of the Greeks at their national games, a battle, any struggle or contest, an action at law, trial, a contest for a prize, a fight, a race. So Paul's saying, look, I'm fighting for you. I'm taking action for you. What you're going through, though we're apart, I'm right here praying for you. I couldn't help. Yesterday we had the men's prayer meeting, and Ray Silva was given a testimony. I know you have to hear it from him because I'm going to mess it up. But his son had to move jobs, I think, and had to travel to two different states. And his son was freaking out, not knowing what's going to happen. They only gave him like 2 or 3 days to do it. And so his son ended up pulling over and ended up starting praying. And within, Ray said, like 10 seconds, a door opened for him to get a house. And then other things happened. And he had a family member say, I'm going to help you financially. And Ray was just talking to him how important it is to keep God first, to continue chasing after him. And look what happens when you have God at the center. And, when you call out his name, how he answers. And it was stirring something up in me about making sure that I'm always calling out to God. And just like Paul, I'm in put myself in someone else's shoes, even though I'm not with him. When I'm not with Brian at his work, I'm still praying for him that he's going to have success spiritually. With Pastor Don, that he's not going to get too stressed out by all us boneheads at church. Just little examples. And when I say boneheads, I really mean Bob. All right. And then it continues to say on, he says, I'm contending for you. And for you and at Laodicea. So he's talking to the church of Colossus and Laodicea. And God kept bringing me back to these two places. They were 9 miles apart. And then I'm like, okay, they're 9 miles apart. They're connected on a river, But what's important about Laodicea? So I started looking it up. It's mentioned 6 times in the New Testament. And God took me to Revelation 3, 14 through 19. Go ahead, turn to there, Cody. I'm going to have you read it.
And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent.
All right, so first, in Colossians, Paul's telling them to continue to, let me go back to the verse. He says, I tell you so that no one may deceive you. So obviously there were fine-sounding arguments coming against them. So Paul is bringing a word of correction to them, first and foremost. Then we see here, Christ is bringing another word of correction. And he's telling them, you're being lukewarm. You're allowing false doctrine to come in and sway your thinking. And so I started thinking, what's the timeline here? So Paul wrote to the church of Colossians in 62 AD. And believe it or not, I know there's estimates of when Revelation was written and stuff like that. But the church, or Laodicea, was actually destroyed in 66 AD by an earthquake. So think about that. They got two words of correction. God says, I'm going to spit you out because you're being lukewarm. You're allowing false doctrine to come in. And then before you know it, they're destroyed. So they didn't listen. They didn't listen to what God was trying to speak to them about being lukewarm, about allowing false doctrine to come and pervert the ways of the church. And so one of the things with being lukewarm that I started thinking about was allowing relativism to affect them. Meaning there's no absolute truth. Many churches today adopt this. Truth is just relative. It's okay for me. It's okay for you, even if they contradict. And in my class, my teacher came up to us and she said, what defines you? So I started thinking, all right, well, I'm a Jesus freak. I love God. I'm like, I'm going to write that down because that's something that defines me. I put on my Arab billy because I'm Arabic and I'm half hillbilly. So I'm like, I might as well put that down. Yeah, she actually laughed when she heard that because she's like, I've never, what in the world is a hillbilly? And I'm like, I showed her a picture of my grandparents and they're wearing a hijab and everything. And she's like, okay, I get that. And then I showed her a picture of my mom's side of the family and she's like, now I understand. She's like, I get the picture of the hillbilly. I'm like, that's who I am. And I put down, I'm a gym rat. And she's like, so you're a Jesus freak? And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I am. And she's like, man, you must hate me. I'm like, nah, you know, I don't hate you. And she's like, well, why are you a Jesus freak? So I started sharing with her a little bit of my story and stuff like that. And it was awesome. You know, it just the opportunity God gives you, you know, when you write something down, he allows your testimony to come forth and you're not even prepared. But it's so easy to share it because it's your own personal life of what God's done in you. And that's one thing I always say, no one can argue personal experience. That's something that, you know, they just don't understand. And my teacher, she kept trying to tell us all, you know, share us a little bit about yourself. We want to hear your story. Why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? So in the middle of class while she's talking, I'm like, wait, you know, I got a question. She's like, yeah, go ahead. And I'm like, well, what defines you? And she's like, you're a student. You're not allowed to ask me what defines me. I'm like, well, you're trying to get that out of us. I'm like, I want to know what defines you. Why are you the way you are? And she's like, oh, my story's too deep. I'm like, hey, if we have to open up, you have to open up to us too. And she's like, no, I don't have time. I'm like, are you serious? You're not going to tell me, you know, your story? She's like, all right, fine, I'll share a little bit. I'm like, all right, cool, cool. And she's looking at me. She's like, I got my eye on you. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. So she starts telling me, I don't know if anybody's watched the movie Slumdog Millionaire. Has anybody watched that? She said, I didn't really care for the movie. I watched it a long time ago, but I didn't like it. And she said she grew up worse than what that guy did. She grew up in a Pentecostal church. I think she has 13 siblings. She was like the middle one and grew up in Jamaica. And she said she would literally cry if she went to the dumpster and there's nothing left. And they would fight over food and stuff like that. And everybody's face in the class was just like this. But me, I'm looking at her like, well, that makes a lot more sense. Now I understand, you know, why you are the way you are. And she's like, see, I told you you couldn't handle this. I'm like, keep going. I want to hear more. And she's like, so she started telling me how her mom called her stupid, how her mom would tell her at the age of 12 that she needs to take care of the whole family, cook, clean, take care of the bills. And then her mom would just go to church all day. And so this kind of sets up to why she's so against Christianity. Is because growing up, I mean, where would I be if my dad did that to me? I know I probably wouldn't be serving God if someone who claimed to believe in God but then gave all the workload to their kids. So she's saying all this stuff, and she's like, but I'm not full atheism. You know, there are things in my life that happened supernaturally that I can't explain, so I know there's a God, but I don't really know what it looks like. I don't know how to paint the picture. And so she kept saying stuff, you know, in the class, multiculturalism is about not being being unbiased, I guess, when you're teaching kids and stuff like that. And she's telling us not to be racist, not to be judgmental. If a kid comes in and is a girl and says, hey, I want to be called Adam, not Jessica, you're supposed to call him Adam, not Jessica. And I'm like, well, why? And she's like, well, because that's right. And I'm like, well, who are you to say what's right? And she's like, well, because that's right. You need to treat everybody. I'm like, well, tell me how you get that's right. I'm like, isn't truth just all relative? If it's right for you, it could be right for me, but contradict each other. She's like, well, what is right? What is truth? I'm like, that's a good question. What is truth? And so we start getting in these discussions, and I don't have time to go into everything, but it was just so cool to see the interaction of the students, like looking and then looking like this. And I'm just like, I'm enjoying the whole thing because I love, not necessarily debating, but I love arguing what is truth, what is purpose, you know, how do you have all these things. She was, one of the things I told her is, you know, you keep trying to tell us we have a purpose to do this and this, but why? What are we living for? What are we living for? If you're telling me I need to teach these kids this and this and this, but then that's all there is to life, why should I teach that? What if I grew up in a different society? Then what? Is it still truth? Even though some societies believe one thing and another society believes this. I was like, who are you to tell me that my belief is wrong and yours is right? I'm like, that's judgmental. You can't do that. That's not right. It's just been a really fun class, and I've enjoyed so much because I love debating and stuff like that. And there's this 35-year-old guy that sits right behind me, and he's always saying stuff like religion needs to be separate from politics and stuff like that, and separation of church and state. Always saying, you know, abortion should be legal, Planned Parenthood, people are naive if they don't support it and stuff like that. And so he's very strong liberal. And I looked at him one day, and you know, there was a group, my teacher was right there sitting down, and she came over, she's like, this is good discussion. So she just sat down and was like watching everybody as we're all talking. And I'm like, you know, why, whether you want to admit it or not, I'm like, some Jesus is going to be taught from, you know, our president. I'm like, if it ain't my Jesus, it's going to be someone else's Jesus. They're going to tell you their beliefs, and they're going to try and impose their belief system on America, whether or not you want to accept it or not. Like, if a Muslim got up there, you better believe they're going to be wanting certain things that agree with Islam up there. You can be naive all you want, but it's going to happen. So you might want it separate, but it won't be. It will never be separate. That's the way life is. And he kept going, and he kept saying, you know, I don't believe in truth, but it's rather relative. We were talking about abortion and homosexuality and murder. And so I said, what if I say that your truth is wrong? You just told me that my truth is right and your truth is right, but what if my truth says yours is wrong? Who's true? And he kind of looked at me, and, you know, the whole class, he's been kind of cocky, and he looked at me, he's like, man, I've never really thought of it like that. His eyes got all big. He's like, that's real good, you know? Yeah, that's weird. And I'm like, you know, this is what I always try to look at. I'm like, when I look at different things in life, and I try to reason with myself what's truth and what's not truth. I'm like, my dad, for example, I shared a little bit about my dad being atheist and stuff like that, how he grew up Muslim, but now he's an atheist. And I said, there's only really two things we can agree on when we debate about Christianity versus evolution or atheism and stuff like that. I'm like, there's two theories, and these are the really only two that make sense to me and him. Is one, if there is a God, then you have purpose, you have morality, you have law, you have order. Because God is the one who created it all. But if you don't have a God, then there's no purpose. There's no law. There's no morality. There's no right or wrong. It's all relative, and it's all based on society. So I told him, I said, look, if you're telling me there's no truth, then that means there's no God, then you cannot yourself tell me what is right and what is wrong. And he looked at me, and he's like, yeah, you know, I guess you're right. I can't really tell you what's right and wrong. And I'm like, that's the bottom line. I was like, that's why for me, I believe that there is a God, because I'm living for a purpose. I'm living after a God who has law, who has order, you know, who makes right and wrong. So something the class was kind of touching on. So after we had that discussion, my teacher got up. You know, we wasted probably like 40 minutes in the class debating. And she looked at me and she's like, man, that was deep, Jesus freak. I like you. I'm like, oh, I like you too. And so afterwards, I was talking with her a little bit, just trying to, you know, get on a good side. And, oh, I'll share this real fast. And after the class, you know, I was just talking to some of the students, and God reminded me of a story in the Bible that related to this girl's life. And so I waited for all the students to leave, and I walk up to her, and I'm like, you know, I'm really enjoying this class. It's really fun for me. She's like, yeah, you know, it is pretty fun, you know. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if you've ever read the Bible. I know you said you grew up in the church, but there's just a story that I feel like relates me and you, because I've always related to this story a lot. And she's like, what is that? And I'm like, have you ever read the story of Joseph? She's like, yeah, I know about the story of Joseph. And I'm like, You know, you look at his life and you see how Joseph had to go through all that struggle and all the things, and his family attack him, and, you know, your mom obviously wasn't there for you, didn't treat you right and stuff and give you the love and affirmation that you needed. But in the end, Joseph, when he looked at his brothers, he said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And I told her that, and she's like, yeah, that's just, you could just tell it was just like, wow, you know, she just enjoyed it. And she's like, that's really good. Thank you. That's really good. So just keep praying for me in that class, man, because I'm excited. I'm expecting good things, and it's been a lot of fun. So when I was looking some of this up, these are topics we're all going to face today that's really going rampant in America and even in a lot of the churches. And it's funny because it's been around for a while. If you read in the Old Testament, what did God command Solomon not to do? Not to go and marry off other women of different religions, because he knew that he would adopt their gods. And so humanism is saying that there's relative truth, but it's accepting other gods into your religion. So if you want to go to, where is it? What is humanism? Yeah, ain't this kind of funny? Humanists want to say that they're not religious. Become a member, donate, take action, get local. Come on now, and I said the only difference is you're living for no purpose and I'm living for a God. That's it. All right, go to, you already got it. So humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that without theism and other supernatural beliefs affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good of humanity. And it goes back to that argument, what is good? If you're without God, if you're living from this perspective, why? I'd argue that 24/7. Why should I be good? Why should I do that? How do you know it's going for the good? What if I think good is the opposite direction? You see what I'm saying here? But philosophers, teachers will always try to teach us that we're humanistic. We should be accepting of all things, and there is no relative truth. Yeah. Well, yeah, then you're wrong. You can't be right at that point. She's a agnostic, atheist, somewhat believing in God. That's what she said she is. She gave me an example of how she's like, yeah, I believe in God because there's some supernatural things that I just can't explain. And I'm like, well, what is it? And it really honestly was, to me, it didn't make sense. I'm like, why would that make you believe in God? But for her, it does, so I'm not going to knock her on it, but... So I just wanted to use this. What were some other ones? Yeah. So, and actually the funny part, when I was looking at this, there's a lot of, I think it's in a different category. I was looking at this for about half an hour the last couple nights. And some of the things is, if you're going to a church, how you can adopt a humanist mentality within the church and still be okay. And so this is why I pulled it up, because I started thinking about that, is that we need to be careful that we're not ourselves adopting that mentality. You know, my teacher was telling me that it's all relative, every religion's pretty much the same and stuff like that, and I raised my hand, I said, sorry, I have to disagree with you. If I accept that as truth in my life, then I'm making the cross less than it really was. I'm taking Jesus off of what he said he was and what he did. So I can't accept that doctrine that all truth is relative and that I need to be humanistic, because Christ said he is the only way. Pastor, you got something?
When she says all truth is relative, that's when you need to raise your hand. You say, excuse me, that truth statement you just made,
yeah,
that all truth is relative, is false.
Right.
You know, so you can't get around it. We read in the scriptures, Jesus Christ is the truth, his word is truth. There's such thing as truth. And once you deny it, you're open to anything. And they hate to admit it, but yet they operate under a truth principle. And that's why I said she's schizophrenic. She has no idea what the truth is.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? You have somebody in your class that, you know, what was the class, the world religions?
Multiculturalism.
Multiculturalism. Okay. And so when you get done with the class, you're going to ask her, or you'll come out of there and you'll think to yourself, well, what really is the best culture? What is the best way of living your life? And like you said, you know, the people that are cannibals, they're completely happy with eating other human beings or sacrificing human beings. Yeah. So, but I always love it. They contradict themselves constantly And just to say that there is no such thing as truth, that is a true statement that she's making. So she's contradicting herself. But it shows you, you know, when you reject God's word, and we see in the scripture, right after the flood, that there was a city created, Babylon, or Babel. And Babel means what? Confusion of tongues. So anytime you jettison God and his word, there's always confusion that's going to come in. That's why the world can never get a good grasp on philosophy. Everybody's all over the place on it.
All right. Anybody else got anything they want to add? Any similar experience they've been going through?
I would like to say the one thing she said, that all religions are the same, is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Actually, she's got it close. There's only two, Christianity and everything else. Nothing, no other religion comes close to Christianity and what the message is.
Right.
There's no acceptance. Most religions accept evil and simply try to get to a place where evil and good are at a stalemate. If you take a look, that's true with about every other religion. Yeah. And every other religion talks about having to do something physically, some human works, to make yourself acceptable to God. So what she said there was completely untrue.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of stuff. But she's kind of got to take it as a grain of salt, because she wouldn't tell me her whole story. And she's like, you know, I pay a lot of money for my shrink. I'm like, what? And she's like, yep, she's the only person I tell everything to. And I'm like, are you serious? She's like, yeah. I'm like, what about your husband? You don't share this stuff with him? She's like, no, he'd think I'm crazy, and he'd leave me. I'm like, well. So it's been a really fun class, and, you know, don't be afraid. Like PD always says, don't be afraid to speak up, you know. And it's not just in school and work. People have some crazy beliefs at the workplace too. And don't be afraid to speak your mind, because you don't know if maybe you're speaking gives them freedom, you know, and that's what we're living for, right? To advance the kingdom. All right, so verse 2 says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they might have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. And it goes right back to, people always attack Christ because he's the mystery of God. It says to be accepting of other beliefs. I think I already mentioned this earlier, which is religious views. I am making the cross void, and in doing so, I am making Christ less than God. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We can make the Bible say whatever we want. I mean, look at Jehovah. That was one of the points in the class. She said, Jehovah Witness, Mormon, Christianity, it's all the same. And I raised my hand politely, and I'm like, I disagree with you. And she didn't give me time to finish responding. She kept going in the class, so I'm like, you know, all right, whatever, ain't that big of a deal. I don't need to argue it, but I'm still going to tell them, you know, it's different. Yeah. So it's very, you know, evident when we study Scripture, we have to do what? Bob always says this, examine Scripture with Scripture. If you start trying to make it sound whatever you want, normally you're using one verse out of context, and that's how people get off on little bunny trails, because they're not examining Scripture with Scripture. So it's very important for each of us daily when we're studying it to make sure we're being a Berean and examining the Word with the Word. Verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. I was talking to this girl in my class, and this was before I got into it with my teacher, and she's Muslim and stuff, and so we were just talking about amongst ourselves, about six of us, and I was telling her I'm a Christian and stuff like that, but I grew up with a Muslim father, and you know how I believe that, and she's like, well, what is your mom? She's like, she's a Christian, ain't she? And I'm like, well, she is, but you know, that's not why I believe what I believe. She's like, yeah, it is. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, you could ask my wife. I do not believe Christianity because of my mom. That is nothing. She has nothing to do with it. I'm like, and actually, my dad's one of my best friends, and you know, he doesn't believe in Christianity. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah. He was my best man at my wedding. She looked at me. She was like, that's weird. You know, like she just didn't understand it. I'm like, but you know, we're still close. It doesn't matter if we believe opposite things. And so we're just talking about Islam and Christianity, and she's like, yeah, you know, we believe the same thing. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but we don't. And she's like, yeah, we do. You know, I'm like, I'm telling you, out of all people in here, I'm going to tell you, we don't believe the same things. I'm like, I already told you I grew up in a Muslim family. You know, I went to the mosque when I was a kid. I hated the church, but now, you know, I'm a Christian and stuff like that. There's a big difference. She's like, no, I went to a Catholic school for about 9 years. They teach us the same thing. And I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. So I took out a sheet of paper. I started writing them down. I'm like, there's some of the same things. I'll give you some examples. I said they have a lot of the same prophets, Abraham, Moses, you know, you could keep going down the list, Adam. I'm like, yeah, same characters are in both books. I said, and yeah, I'm not going to argue this. They both try to tell you to do good. You know, Christianity, we do good things. Obviously, we do it by the power of God. They do it so they can get to heaven. There's a big difference on your motive for doing good, but you still teach you to do good. I said, but let me ask you this. Who's your God? She's like, the one true God, Allah. And I'm like, okay, one God, Allah. I wrote it down, and I said, now who's the Christian God? She's like, one God. I'm like, okay, the Trinity. I wrote it down. And she's like, well, that's what you call it and stuff like that. I'm like, well, 1 second. So I wrote down Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I'm like, the biggest difference, and I said, and this is all we need to figure out that it's a difference, is that we believe Jesus is God, manifested in the flesh. He is God, nothing less. And she's like, well, we believe in Jesus too. He's a good man, a good prophet. We love him. And I'm like, okay, but you don't believe he's God. So that's a big difference. She's like, no, it's a minor difference. I'm like, you're telling me that who your God is a little different. I'm like, you're going to be real with me and tell me that. She's like, yeah, it's just a little difference. I'm like, or she kept going, it's the same thing. I'm telling you, it only has small differences, but same thing. They teach the same thing. I'm like, okay. So, right, and I knew the Spirit of God was on me, so I was just being bold saying it. So I'm like, then I want you to tell me right now, tell me that Jesus is God. If it's the same thing and you're telling me that it's the same thing, I want you to say Jesus is God. And she just looked at me and was like, it's like the same thing. she would not admit that Jesus is God. And I'm like, by your lack of saying it, you have admitted that there is a difference. I'm like, by your own word of mouth, you admit they are not the same thing. So don't tell me that they're the same thing when you can't even confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is God. But I laugh because people always try to throw out those arguments against Christianity. If you're not paying attention and if you're not studying the Bible the right way, you know, there's many Christians I know at work, or Christians that I know at work, who will say, yeah, it's all the same thing, you know, doesn't matter what religion you are, it's all for the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you are whacked out. You don't know what you believe. I even had a guy at work before, I think I've shared this. How much time I got? All right, 2 minutes, I better not share. Well, I'll share it real quick. So he tried to tell me, he's like, yeah, you know, Jesus was created. And I looked at him, I was like, what in the world? Where is he getting with this? He's like, yeah, Jesus was the first created being, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Jesus wasn't created, man. He's like, yeah, you read the Bible. It says he's created. I'm like, no, he wasn't. And he took me to a verse in Matthew, I think, where it says Jesus is the light. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I believe that. Jesus is the light. So then he went to Genesis, and he says, on this day, it says God created the light. He's like, see, Jesus was the first created being. He's the light. And I'm like, I'm just looking at him like this. The engines are just rolling by. I'm not doing my job. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, okay, so I got a question. If Jesus is God, all right, he's like, yeah, yeah, you know, he was created. He's a created God. So right away, his light bulb's not on very tight. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's a created God, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, and he's the light. And he's like, yeah, the light. I'm like, so when God created the light, all right, so right now there's light in here. I'm like, and if Jesus is everywhere, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. He's like, yeah, he's everywhere, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, if I go turn this light off, where's Jesus? Did I just make Jesus disappear because there's no light right now? Are you serious? And he looks at me, he's like, well, you're not seeing what I'm trying to say. I'm like, no, you're not seeing what is actually going on. Jesus created the light. If you take out the light, it's darkness. So I have the power to control where Jesus goes to and fro because I can turn the light on and off. And he's like, and he starts doing his job. But it's arguments like that where if you don't study the word daily and you're not fully understanding it and examining scripture, you might not even challenge that thought. You might just say, do what? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then now they think that you agree with them because you're not standing up to the truth. Are we allowing the seed of God's word to run deep, or are we trying to fit into the world, going to work without people? knowing where you stand, but most importantly, who your God is by sharing testimony with them? Are we trying to do that? Are we being purposeful in sharing that? Because if we're not, then we will start accepting this. We'll begin to accept humanism within our own lives. Before you know it, we'll be teaching our kids the same thing, that truth is relative. If we're not examining it day in and day out, story in Acts 4, 18 through 21, they're being contested, and they keep telling John and Peter not to share what they've said, and Peter replies to him, I can only share for what I've seen. I can only share for what I've gone through, what Jesus has done in my life. He's like, whether it's important to do what man tells me to do or what God tells me to do, you decide, but for me, I'll do what God tells me to do.
Amen.
And that's for each one of us. So I title this false teachings to make sure that every day we're examining what we believe. Are we adopting humanistic mentality in our lives? Are we going strictly by what the Word of God says?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Sammy. That was very good. Sometimes we don't look at certain things like humanism, something really important or something that really could come against the church and do some harm. But the Word says it's the small foxes sometimes that you have to watch out for. Amen? It doesn't take much water to dilute something, does it? Amen. Who would you like to close, Sammy?
My wife.
Where's she? Ah, I see her back there.
All right. Dear God, we thank you so much for the word that was put on Sammy's heart, Lord, for him just to share with us. And we pray, Lord God, that we do examine the real truth, Lord, of knowing who you are. And that when we go out to the workforce, when we go into our schools or even just being at home with our children, that, Lord God, we are sharing that truth to them. We are grounding them up, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, and we ask right now that you just bless the service that we're about to receive, the worship that we're about to just go into, Lord God, and I pray that right now that you just prepare our hearts. We thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.